I'll combat boils and ghouls. It's your host with the most, Benjamin Dutil, with the Horror Heathen YouTube channel and the South Jersey Horror Podcast. Today, I have a very special guest, C. Ernst Harth, who you all know as the great child from one of my all-time favorite movies, 13 Ghosts. I love the face. He's already giving me faces. This remarkable actor was chosen to play a specific role in this movie, and I have tons of questions, but only a short amount of time. So I'm gonna get as much information as possible. So just before we jump into something into this, I need to say something, get it off my chest. 13 Ghosts is most definitely an underrated gem of the horror genre. And we have to admire the art, the direction, the special effects, the costumes, and the makeup. It takes place inside of a house. That is one of the best looking horror sets I have ever seen in any horror movies. And the 12 ghosts look like pages from heavy metal brought to monstrous life. So the production is first rate. The executives included Joe Silver and Robert Zemeckis. So, but most importantly, the physical look of the picture is just marvelous. So without further ado, I'm going to shut my trap now and warmly welcome C. Ernst Harth with a high five. How the hell are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. For everyone that knows 13 Ghosts, they know the Great Child. It's amazing to me when I see people with tattoos of my face, because of all the ghosts, I'm the one that looks the most like themselves. Everyone else has got all this crazy special effects makeup and everything. Me, I got a little appliance on my eyes that cover my eyebrows. Beyond that, it's just me. So when I see my face on some guy's thigh, it just throws me for a loop. But yes, I'm C. Ernst Harth. I'm born in Ontario, Canada. I now live in Vancouver, Canada, where 13 Ghosts was shot. I am a Canadian actor. I've been to the States to work, but I'm based out of Canada, and I've been doing this for 35 years. And all types of characters, all types of monsters, all types of smart guys, dumb guys, and everything in between. And I've been as high as 598 pounds, which is what I was when we shot 13 Ghosts. And then I lost 200 pounds, and then I did Scooby-Doo 2, where they built me a fat suit. So you can't win. So yeah, I've been acting since my first acting credit was in 1990. I did acting and through school, and did plays and did community theater and stuff like that, improv. But as far as professional acting is, didn't start until I moved to Vancouver. Didn't even know there was such a thing as a film industry. When you grow up as a kid, you just think everything's made in Hollywood. It wasn't until I moved out here and realized, oh, wait, they make movies and TV shows here. Cool. Maybe I can be part of that. So thankfully, 13 Ghosts came to town, and that's where the biggest notoriety has come from. That's why I'm here.
Other than mention, this is the second movie you've acted with alongside Matthew Lillard.
That's
So,
right.
because Scooby-Doo was one of, I saw the first Scooby-Doo movie in the theaters, and then I saw the sequel in the theaters. I love Scooby-Doo. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I've been a Scooby-Doo fan since I was like, I don't know, a teenager. So.
And I think a lot of horror fans especially have come out of growing up with Scooby-Doo. It has so much of the horror, the aesthetic and the look and the feel and the characters with the ghosts and the costumes and everything. And so it makes sense that so many people that grew up with Scooby-Doo end up, becoming huge horror fans. And especially when, since I've joined a lot of horror communities and gotten to know a lot of the people in the fans, Scooby-Doo is definitely a gateway drug for horror films. And the fact that there's even a 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, so it's like tied in. If I could have only gotten something to do with that, I could have a crazy tie-in, because I'd be the only person who's done Scooby-Doo and 13 Ghosts. And now if they did a feature of the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, boy, that would be too much. That would be too meta for me.
So, in other words, you've been immortalized in the horror industry.
Yeah.
It's great. It's fantastic. I mean, Just a little backstory. I won tickets to see the first Scooby-Doo movie in the theater. I won tickets. I was sitting in my room listening to the radio. I forgot what station. I was living in Northern Virginia at the time. And the question was, who was the original voice of Shaggy? I was like, oh my God, this is too easy. So I called in. I was like, it's Casey Kasem, obviously. And the guy was like, you win. I'm like, what did I win? Two tickets to see Scooby-Doo. Like, oh, shit. So
That's one
anyway,
of those.
and
It's one of those questions where you hear it, you go, "Well, who doesn't know that?"
yeah, I was surprised I actually got through because the first like 30 seconds of the line was busy. It's like, oh crap, I'm never gonna get through this shit. And then and then I got through like a minute later. It's like, oh my God, I'm actually on the air. Holy crap. Okay, cool. So
So
anyway,
yeah, working
yeah.
with Matthew twice on that—that was because as Minor 49er, getting to work with him as Shaggy. But it's like, he's never gotten to see me as a normal guy because every time he'd come to set, I'm already so far into the makeup process. So it's like he worked with the Great Child and he worked with Minor 49er, but he's never really worked with CRSR except, when we've seen each other offset, on days that I wasn't working or at the wrap party or what have you. But, he's one of my favorites, especially getting to know him on set. He's so down to earth and he just loves everybody and loves the business and loves working and loves to share his love. So yeah, I'm
Yeah, I've
glad
seen him at
that the two,
kids.
I was gonna say, I'm just glad that the two most popular films that I've worked on that I've gotten the most fan attention from are the two films that I worked with him on, because he gets a lot of that love and he deserves it.
Yeah, I saw him at Monster Mania last year, and he was doing it was a whole screen group photo thing going on, and the line is like long as hell. It being wrapped around, snaked around for the whole screen cast.
Yeah.
I'm not a Scream fan, but my fiance is. She is a Scream fangirl. So I took her there. We stood in line for hours, and we're like, it's like 4 hours in. We're just standing there. It's ridiculous. And then Matthew just walks down the line and starts getting high fives or everybody. He's like, yeah, thanks for coming. High fives. And my fiance is all like, so, anyway, he is a great guy. And I saw him before that in Kansas, called a thing called Kansas Crypticon. And he's just a fantastic guy all around. And we shot the shit for a little bit about talking about Scooby-Doo for a little bit in the hallway. And I was like, dude, you're just an amazing actor. But yeah, he is really cool. But today we're here to talk about 13 Ghosts and your role
Yes.
as the Great Child. So like I said, fantastic movie, visually stunning movie. I had to watch it again this morning just for the hell of it because I'm like, this movie is just so, it was so well done. And yet it's getting a lot of negative criticism. Like, what is wrong with you people? So
Well, even when working on it, just being on that set, on that house set, which was a set, and the thing was built, it was like two stories high. It was built in the one of the largest special effects sound stages in the world, which we had in Canada at the time. And this thing was like 2,500 panes of glass. I mean, it was built for like 2 months. It took a whole team of guys to build this thing. It was all made out of like metal and glass. I mean, and all the gears, all the work, everything that you saw moving was actually moving. This thing was an engineering feat. And just being on set, walking around, looking at it, it's like, this thing is going to have to be nominated for an Academy Award for production design or something. Like, horror movies don't usually go that into it, into the production design. And, unfortunately, horror movies usually don't get the award recognition that they should, especially some of the actors. But in this, the production design was just off the charts. It was amazing. I mean, the makeup too. The makeup I think that's what made the movie so effective, was that the ghosts were actually there. And that the actors were actually interacting with them. So many times in these type of movies, the ghosts are added later. So, the actors are reacting to a tennis ball or they're reacting to a C-stand or something. Or this, like I was saying, someone was in an interview once was talking about Matthew Lillard, and I said, think about it. He comes around the corner of the house, and then at the other end of the hallway is this 598-pound, 6'6" guy in his diaper with puke all over him and blood and carrying an axe. And he's seeing me. He's not having to pretend anything. There's no acting involved. You know, he's seeing exactly what the audience is seeing. So it's an not the original reaction. And I think same with the Juggernaut and same with the you know the Jackal. When that screaming crazy person with the cage on his head is coming after you, he's actually coming after you. So, you know, that added such a flavor to the film. Too many times these films just become this hodgepodge of CGI, and it loses the original tension that you can have when you have two actors looking into each other's eyes on set. And that was the exciting thing. But the hard part of it was because the house was made of glass, glass reflects. And if you have glass on every side of the actor, above the actor, below the actor, where are you going to put the crew? Because the crew's going to reflect. So they almost had to overlight the thing to basically break down the reflections. But in doing so, you can just imagine all the lights that they had to have on, and they couldn't have the fans going because the noise. So it was so hot in there. And then to have all these crew members in black t-shirts scrouching, you know, crouching down on the ground, trying to hide from the camera. And my joke is always, that's my favorite drinking game is spot the crew member when you watch the film, because there's a few times in the film you could see like you could see the grip who forgot to wear the black t-shirt that day. You know, there's like a guy with a white t-shirt crouched down in the corner. So it's one of those things where if you've seen the movie enough times, or if you know where to look, you'll start seeing reflect like any movie, you know, you'll see a car drive by, but then if you watch it back again and you freeze frame it and you watch it frame by frame, all of a sudden you see the whole camera crew reflect in the window real quickly as the so 13 Ghosts is like a whole movie of that. But and then at the end of the movie, when they blew the house up, they really blew the house up. So this massive set was exploded, and what you see is it was real. So they saved a few panes of glass for pickup shots and what have you. And I think some of them went on a mall tour with some of the makeup or something. I know these movies, they have a life of their own once you make them. So I don't really know what happens, but I think at the premiere or something, they had some of the panels from the house with all of the Latin etchings on them and everything. But it was an amazing set. I mean, you just walk around that whole place with your jaw dropped open because it was top notch. Even all the props and everything that were in there, like the samurai outfit and all the different swords and everything. I think one of the swords was from Highlander, which they actually the series, which they actually shot in Vancouver as well. So the same prop people. So there's all these little Easter eggs throughout the house. But yeah, I just wish they had spent more time on the backstories of the ghosts in the film. You know, it was a great addition to the DVD, adding all the ghost stories, the ghost files, and that added such an extra flavor to the film. But I think if they had taken just a piece of each one of those stories and added it to the film, it would have just made the film that much richer. And I think that's why since the film came out, there's been talk of somebody's got to do a series. Like I kept, there was that meme that went around forever. It was like Netflix needs to make a 13 episode about,
Well,
and
there's a website about that. It's like some fan group put a website called the blackzodiac.com or something. And I read it's very fascinating stuff. And you're right, I agree with you. I wish they would have provided like a 30-minute, like a 30-second, like a 1-minute background story of each person instead of just reading from a book. So I'm like, come on. I mean, it's a great movie, but that would have been like an added bonus to the film. And you may have cut the ending short a little bit, but hey, you gotta do something, man.
If
But
you look at the film now, there's at least three, it feels at least, there's like at least 3 minutes where it's nothing but slow pans of a hallway. Ooh, here's a spooky hallway. Here's a spooky hallway. It's like they needed to add 3 more minutes to the runtime or something. So they have all these slow pan shots of empty hallways in the house. And I was like, how's about less pans of the hallway and more backstory of the ghosts? There, look, you don't need to pad the film anymore. I think that just would have made the film that much better. I think it came out at a hard time as far as finding an audience because it was like a month after 9/11. So, there was a huge portion of the public that wasn't ready to go to see movies or anything, but this was a perfect distraction. And I think the movie got more popular when it came to home video because there's a lot, something about horror films, especially, people don't want to, they don't want to let people know that they went and saw a certain film. It's like, if it's a Tom Cruise film, we'll go see it. It's a big action film or something. It's a dramatic, but certain films like horror films, some people are just weird about that. They don't want to be, they'll watch it at home in private on their TV. They don't want people to know that they were at a horror movie on the weekend.
I feel bad. I feel like such a bad horror fan because I didn't know about this movie until it hit DVD. Because
Really?
I didn't. I wasn't really big going to movie theaters when around this time frame. Because, like I
Yeah.
said, it was post 9/11. A lot of people were afraid to go out in the public. I was working two full-time jobs. It was just nuts. So, and then a friend of mine approached me. He's like, "Have you seen 13 Ghosts?" I'm like, "No, but I am aware of the 1960 version." So. And he's like, "Well, this is like a reboot of it, but much, much, much better." I'm like, "Okay, I'll take your word for it." I watched it. I was not disappointed. And I
Yeah.
started bragging about it. I was like, "Holy crap, this is the shit right here. I love this. I'm gonna pass this word around like it's nothing." And then all my friends started watching. I'm like, "Dude, we got that." I started having watch parties at my house, and
Yeah.
it would just flew off the handle. It went nuts. And then a friend of mine, her name's Tara. She follows me on Facebook. She's one of my followers and one of my listeners. And she says, "I have never seen 13 Ghosts." I'm like, "You better get off your butt, go buy the DVD right now, and go watch
But
it."
it's funny. And like I said, I've been belonging to a lot of the horror community, the horror fan groups and what have you. And it's one of those films that seems to hit people. Like people either really love it or can't stand it. There's no middle ground with 13 Ghosts. It seems like people are just massive fans of it, or they just think it's the stupidest movie ever. I don't know. I'm part of the loving it, and that's regardless of the fact that I'm in it. But I think that as the, and I've said this to other people in other interviews, I think as the screen of where the presentation of the film, as the screen got smaller, it got a bigger and bigger audience because if you think about it, it has a very frenetic, almost like an MTV editing to it. Like the shots are really quick. And when I saw it at the premiere on a massive screen, it was almost like headache inducing because it was like there's too much data, there's too much stuff happening too quickly that you it's like you're looking over here, and by the time you go to look to this side of the screen, it's already moved on to the next shot. So you're never getting. I didn't really even get to truly enjoy the film until I saw it on DVD the first time because it was then within the frame of my television, and then people started watching it on their computers and then on their phones, and it's like the smaller the screen gets, the better the film is, I guess, because all of a sudden all the action is directly in front of your eyeballs. And I know it's a weird way to look at it, but I truly believe that it was the reason why it didn't do as well in the theaters than it did on video, I think, is because of the way it was edited. The cuts are so fast that the screen has to be a more manageable size to see all of the information. And if it's cut too fast, you lose. So lots of times people didn't know what was going on because it was happening so fast. The cuts, especially the frantic attack cuts and everything. But no, it's definitely gotten more popular. Even like I know we're not going to talk about, but even the Scooby-Doo 2, both of those films have gotten way more popular to the point that people are crying for sequels to both of them now, 20 years later. Most films, once they've been out a couple of years, people just forget about them and move on to other films. But these films have gotten bigger. 13 Ghosts has gotten more popular the longer it's been out.
Well, my opinion is it's gotten better because the practical special effects, practical makeup, and this little CGI, whatever, and who cares about that? But 99% of the movie is practical, and that's why people love it. That's why I love it. I mean, the makeup was just marvelous. I mean, even if it was your character, I mean, And even I learned a fun fact about your character yesterday, by the way. Is like your character arguably is not evil in the movie, but merely a protective one. So due to your tragic life or the character's tragic life and the mental state. So that's what I heard. It's not you, the great child is not an evil spirit. It's a shitty life, that's all.
Yeah, he's even in death, he's protecting his mom, really,
Yeah.
you know. And the funny part is the first time you see me in 13 Ghosts is when Matthew goes downstairs and is checking out the individual cubes, the individual rooms where all the ghosts are. And when he sees us, I'm sitting in the easy chair, my mom is sitting on my lap, and she's feeding me. But what people don't know is it looks like she's feeding me baby food, but we also did a shot where she's scooping the puke off my bib into the jar. And so then when we're shooting, she's actually feeding me back my puke. So these are
Oh,
the extra levels that people don't know. And
I'll take things I didn't need to know for 500, Alex.
then the direction that Steve Beck, the director, who it's funny how this film is filled with practical effects, and yet Steve Beck came from the world of visual effects as a visual effects supervisor. It's almost like he knew what he could do, but what he would rather do is have the practical effects there. But the direction, the best direction that he gave me is this: the when you see the first time I'm revealed to be outside of our little cube, and I come around the corner with my mom, and we're standing at the end of the hallway. Steve says to me, "Okay, for the great child, he doesn't speak, doesn't have any lines. He's a baby. But what I want you to do is I want you to scream bloody murder. I want you to have a curdling scream, but never open your mouth. So if you watch the film and you listen closely, every time you see me, it's like." It just adds this level of creepiness. You don't even know why it's creepy. I mean, yeah, sure, it's a guy my size and with an axe and a bib and it's pukey and everything. But underneath all of that, you just hear this moaning cry, and it's yeah, that's me underneath without my mouth open, screaming, "I need someone, help me, please."
I have a trivial question for you. If you can act as any other character in the movie, who would it be?
Oh, good question. Of all the questions I've had about the movie, I've never had that one. Who else would I like to be in that movie? Well, the actor in me would say Matthew Lillard, because he's got the most scenery to chew on. There's never a scene that Matthew doesn't take the advantage of chewing, and he's all over the place in that movie. I mean, he's losing his mind, he's crying, he's laughing, he's but
Matthew, I'm sure he means that in the most sincerest way. So chill
yes,
out.
exactly. Yeah. Well, of the people that are not the ghosts, it would have to be Matthew. And of the people that of the ghosts outside of me, I would love to have been the hammer. I just love the look of all the railway spikes. I mean, it's such a tragic character to think about someone being put through that kind of death, but it's just such a fun visual to say that's me. I would love that. I mean, sure, I got this guy behind me here, but because that's what I looked like when I was 200 pounds heavier, now I just like to think if I gain that weight again, this is what I'll look like in my coffin. So it's a constant reminder. But yeah, this was the life cast they made for me, and it sat in the makeup trailer. It sat on the trailer table in front of me, and they used it for color matching to get the same veining and the same darkness around the eyes and what have you. And because originally they didn't know if they were going to make my face bigger or they were going to do stuff to my face. So they had created that. And then when they realized, no, Ernst is creepy enough. We don't need to change Ernst's look. That's why I was saying everybody in the movie, you know, like for example, The Breaker. I love, oh, you were talking or you were talking about how Breaker Mahoney, the juggernaut, how people like to on the internet, you can't trust everything you read on the internet. Well, on the internet, it talks about how John DeSantis put 15 pounds of muscle on to play the juggernaut. And I'm thinking that whole thing is a skin suit from for diving, and all the makeup is on the outside of the suit. So all the muscles and everything that you see are makeup that was put on the out. He just got to work in the morning and slid on his bodysuit, zipped the thing up, and there's his muscles. So that's why I always love to see what the fans have to say. Like, for example, the girl who played the what is it, the Angry Princess, the one with all the slices all over her.
Yeah.
For the longest time, the internet said that she was some Italian porn star, and that this was a cameo that she was. It's like it's people, they just, I don't know what they're smoking. They get an idea, and then definitely then they put it down on the internet, add it to Wikipedia or to IMDb, and next thing you know, it's fact. Enough people have talked about it. You know, I once mentioned to a publicist that I was involved with wrestling, and before you knew it, I'm a professional wrestler. I was a professional wrestler, and I had this whole career. It's like, no, I hung out with a bunch of professional wrestlers, and I helped build the ring and stuff for a couple weeks during the summer. But what happened was, I told the publicist that I had this character that I had created, that I, if I ever got to be a wrestler, this is who I would be. And through that, it just became that I was this wrestler and this is my character. So you can never trust wholeheartedly, like you were saying, what you're gonna read on IMDb or on Wikipedia. But yeah, we definitely had a lot of fun making this film. People always say, what's it like to work with the different actors, like with Matthew Lillard? And the reality was, we lived in our own worlds. It's like there was the monster world, there was the ghost world, where, you know, we'd all be there. We'd get to, first of all, we'd get to set 4 or 5 hours before everybody else. So we never saw any of the actors. We'd be in the makeup trailer. By the time we get out of the makeup trailer, we're in complete makeup. And then they stick us over in the corner in our little ghost land. We had like a tent where all the ghosts and all of our creators, all the people that made us, sat there all day. And the actors were over on either on set or in their own little area. And the only time we ever met up was like crossing paths, going to craft services to get us something to eat, or going to the bathroom or stuff. So, yeah, even like on Scooby-Doo with Minor 49er, it's like same thing. It's like I'm doing my own thing, they're doing their own thing. And unless we're acting together in a scene, there's a good chance we're not going to get to see each other. But it was frustrating too, because with 12 ghosts, there were days where they'd put us all through the process. We'd be sitting there for 10, 11, 12 hours, and then they'd come over and go, oh, I'm sorry, guys, we're not going to get to you guys today. And you'd be like, are you serious? You know how much work went into getting us to look like this? And now you're just going to take it off and send us home and bring us back another. It's like, how's about you schedule the stuff that you're taking forever to shoot on days where you don't need the ghosts, so that we could just go straight to set and do our thing? But, you know, my agent would say, don't complain, you're getting paid. But, you know, as an actor, you're getting paid to act. You don't want to just get paid to sit there and sweat your ass off in this outfit. And thank God I didn't have all those body suits and all those makeups and everything. Because, like I said, the house was so hot, and I can't imagine having been in there with stuff. I just had, like I said, I had two little appliances that covered my eyebrows, because I've been in this business long enough. I know I ain't shaving these things off, because there's no guarantee they're coming back. And if they do, there's no guarantee they're coming back this thick. So they put little applications over that to cover that. And then everything else is just me. I'm also the only ghost who isn't wearing contacts. So, and it's funny, then all of a sudden, I'm on the cover of Fangoria magazine with my eyes, and I'm like, those are my eyes, my face, and I'm on Fangoria. What's up with that? But
All natural.
once again, growing up as a horror fan and reading Fangoria, it didn't matter what was on. Just the fact that I was on the cover of Fangoria was a big enough deal for me, because that was my connection to the film world when I was a kid. Because with no internet, and unless you belong to a newsletter or something that you got in the mail, you had no way of knowing any of this stuff existed. And independent horror films and stuff during the video store era, unless your video store carried it, you wouldn't even know what films are out there. Sometimes I just think, man, people have got it so easy nowadays.
Fangoria was my connection when I was a teenager. Cause my parents wouldn't let me watch horror movies growing up. Like, it would give you nightmares. But you know what? I wouldn't be where I am today if I wasn't into horror movies. Just saying. I went by the magazine just to get the posters to hang in my room. So, but so back then it was like $1.25. Now it's like $10 for a magazine. Like, are you kidding me? Inflation's a mother humper. Just saying. So, okay, I got one more question for you since we're running out of time. If you could end the movie any other way, how would you do it?
Well, what would be interesting is if the he didn't make the jump to the middle of the eye where his two kids were. If he didn't make the jump, that would have been interesting. I like films that are left open-ended to like, oh, 13 ghosts. Are we going to get a 14 ghosts? And talking about the ending, this is the interesting part. The how the film ends now, where you see the shot of all the ghosts, and we've been broken free of our spell or our curse or whatever, and we're all walking off into the woods at the end of the film. That wasn't in the original film that we shot. So they brought us in to do reshoots. That was one of the reshoots that we did, was us walking away off into the woods. And speaking of 9/11, we shot that specific pickup on 9/11. So just imagine this, how surreal that was. It's like we're all dressed up as these ghosts, and then in between takes, we're all huddled around a monitor watching what's happening in New York. And then, okay, back to the scene, go back, shoot all our ghost stuff, and then cut, and then everybody comes back. Because you had American crew who were up for the day up in Vancouver who didn't even know if they were going to get to go back home because all the flights had been canceled, everything. And so, but so that's when we shot the actual ending of us walking off. But how would I have liked to have seen it end? It's a hard one. I'd love to have seen him not make that jump because it seemed too unbelievable to me that he made all those things, all those gears flying up and down. I would love to have seen him get caught up in that. And but boy, I've never, boy, you threw me here because I've never, my brain has never went there. It's like that you just accept that's the way the film ended, and it never occurs to me, well, how would I have liked to have seen it end? That the ghosts got out of their houses, out of their cubes,
Well,
but got to keep the house and live in that house. I don't
I
know.
would have seen that this may sound a little dark. I would have seen Tony Shalhoub die and then make a sequel. That's how I would have seen it done. So,
Well, yeah, and
13
that's it.
ghosts
He wouldn't have
turned into
made,
14 ghosts. Yeah,
he
so.
doesn't make the jump. The ghosts end up taking over the house now that they're free of their cells. They're not in there, so they get to the free reign of the place. And then 14 ghosts could be like 14 ghosts, surreal life. It's like, now let's spend some time with these ghosts in this house and see how they get along with each other. I don't know.
Reality TV all of a sudden. So, well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. It's been great interview talking to you. You're a hoot. I love you, man. So you're just a great guy. Ladies and gentlemen, the remarkable, the talented, best kept secret in Canada, C. Ernst Harth. Thank you so much for joining me today. You've been a great act, and I wish you nothing but success and the best in your career. And I will see you on the big screen.
Thank you. See you later.
Take care.